Paper 24, section 3, which is old single column, page 268. All right, before we get into the reading here, let's do a little follow-on from that bit of mathematics we were playing around with last time. So if you remember, we're doing the higher personalities of the infinite spirit here. And they started us off with the universe circuit supervisors in the first section, and the second section was the census directors. And besides the main details about those two groups of beings, we noticed some fun little numerical tidbits they threw in there. That the way those beings are numbered, they're marking off the slow progression of populating the grand universe, and bringing local universes online, as it were, getting them connected in to all the networks and making them part of the super universe system. And so when they give you the numbers of these beings, they're giving you a milestone about when a certain number, and say going up to 700,000 for all the local universes, or going up to 100,000 for a given super universe, where along that process towards bringing the last one up online, that particular being was put in place. Okay, and so one thing that we didn't do last time that you can notice from the numbers they gave you. So remember, in the census directors, they said that the census director of Nebadon is number 81,412. So in other words, when Nebadon was brought online, it was that number out of the 100,000 in Orvintan. So quite a ways along. And you notice that they're giving them a number specific to just a single super universe. And then in the previous section, when they're talking about the circuit supervisors, they said that the tertiary circuit supervisor that's on Salvington is number 572,842. So, you notice that they're numbering those relative to the whole seven super universes. Yeah, so that's kind of an interesting thing to just to note. But the thing that brings into play is we often have wondered. Are all the seven super universes, coming up fairly equally, in numbers? Or did one, race off and first, and then the other one, second one came in after that? Or exactly how is this being populated? So it's talking about the same point in time when Nebadon came online. So if you take 572,842, and you divide it by 7, what do you get? Okay, now remember, ours was 81,412. You get that number, and you divide it by 7, you get 81,835. Oh. So, pretty darn close.
Yeah.
400-ish, different. So, that seems to be suggesting that all seven super universes are, relatively, they're probably not exactly, because there's a lot of differences in bringing these little nebulas in and all that sort of stuff, but
they're not way whacked.
But it does seem to suggest that they're probably in the same ballpark, the number in each. So that's kind of an interesting little point to note. Now, the other thing, remember, one of the things we did is they gave us you know, indirectly, how many local universes are on Nebadon right now? And they gave you this number. Local universes in Orvendon, excuse me. I did the same thing last week. How many local universes there are in Orvendon right now? And they gave you the number when Nebadon came online. So we did a little calculation. It's like, well, let's assume that over those 300 billion years, you know, just assume it's roughly 300 billion years, that the difference between those two numbers, you know, was about 3,000, remember, and that, you know, would have come online in the last 300 billion years. And so we got an average rate of them coming online over the last 300 billion years, and we extrapolated that forward. If you have the number that they give you in that first section with the circuit supervisors, that there's 84,691 local universes in Orvendon right now. So, if you take it the rest of the way to 100,000, how long would it take at that rate that it's been going on for the last 300 billion years? And you remember we got 1.4 trillion, which, okay, it's in the trillions. It ought to be in the trillions. If it's not, you know there's something completely false about your initial assumptions. But it did seem like a pretty low number. The question is, well, you know, has there been just a burst, you know, over the last 300 billion years? And so it's, you know, on average, a lot faster than it has been in the past. So you could get another point to compare. I mean, you know, there's 84,691 that have come online in Orvendon over the last 300 trillion years. Now, our estimate of how long the super universe has been up and going. So you could figure out, you know, what's the rate with those two? Okay, so let's do that. So if you take 300 trillion and you divide it by that 84,691, you get one every 3.5 billion years. Okay, that's a lot more space between each one on average. Yeah. Because remember, when we did the other calculation, we got about 91 million, I believe it was, if I remember correctly.
Seems a little too short.
You know, and that seemed kind of on the short side. Yeah. Okay, but, you know, maybe it's, you know, it'll give you a lower limit, and maybe this will give us kind of a more of an upper limit.
Yeah.
So if you... if you take that rate of one every 3.5 billion years, then you take it by the number remaining, that would be 100,000 minus 84,691, it's 15,309, and you get... you get 54 trillion years to bring the rest of the local universes online. And we know, and we've just saw that that's, you know, you can probably assume that'll get all seven super universes, you know, they're going roughly at the same pace. Yeah. So we can have kind of an upper and lower limit then that those two numbers set. You know, like I said, it's got to be trillions. And so we see it's at least, you know, 1.4 trillion and, you know, 1.5 trillion. And somewhere up, you know, in the neighborhood of 55, say, trillion.
Yeah.
You know? And if I had to guess, you know, I would think, you know, you'd want something, you know, at least in the, you know, beyond 10 trillion, I would think, or something like that. And then just remember, that's just to bring things online. I mean, you've got the whole process of getting things to light and life after that, and that could take, you know, a long, 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 long time, too.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, but that's just to get it so that, you know, every time we read about some being where there's, you know, there's one for each local system or one for each local universe, you know, they always say, you know, and their reserves are on paradise or something like that. You know, eventually there won't be any of those reserves, you know, when this time that we're trying to estimate comes around. You know, you'll have all of those reserves actually out in the field and and working. Okay, so that just to give you some, you know, give you some ballpark sense of things. It's really reassuring that, you know, all this time that we've been kind of suspecting that we should use numbers like trillions to talk about this sort of stuff, that now these numbers seem to be, you know, in that ballpark. And so that seems to be a reasonable, you know, ongoing assumption that we can play with, that that's the kind of, you know, I mean, if it takes a trillion years just to get that little part of Nebadon called the Andromeda Nebula, that little spiral galaxy, to get it formed and brought in, incorporated with other stuff to make Nebadon, I mean, if that's a trillion-year timescale, I mean, see, that really is suggesting that all this sort of evolution has got to be trillions of years. The only thing you don't know is, you know, is there some, you know, is it ramping up and, you know, or is it episodic, or, you know, we don't know.
They do flourishes and then they relax.
Or, yeah, you know, how, yeah, that's all, that sort of stuff is going to be, you know, to a large degree in the hands of the master architects. And all the power beings just try to keep up with it. You know, it's like, whoa, they're coming fast and furious now, you know, and they've got to scurry and try to get it all coordinated.
It's only 900 billion years between the last.
I've got to
slow this down.
So, all right. So I just wanted to show you that this is one of the spots in the book where you have this little spattering of numbers and you go, ooh, those numbers I can do something with. You know, just a couple of quick back of the envelope calculations and you can get some sense of some of these long-standing questions that you've puzzled over.
Well, within our concept of numbers.
Right. However, we're about to talk about something that isn't in our concept of numbers, a number of things that aren't in our concept of numbers, at least consciousizable. We might be able to give them a name or, you know, express them as 10 to the something power, but meaningless to us, you know, in any direct sense. So, okay, so let's do that. Let's take this first little group. You see there's these next three sections are kind of just little snippets. But we're going to see if we can flesh them out a little bit, so it's not so factual and sort of seemingly brief in its implications. You know, nothing in here is brief in its implications, and so I want to make sure you start opening up that potential of recognizing how many consequences, even at this point, we can see that this stuff has. All right, so let's do reading here.
Personal aids of the infinite spirit. We have no authentic knowledge as to the time or manner of the creation of the personal aids. Their number must be legion, but it is not of record on Uversa. From conservative deductions based on our knowledge of their work, I venture to estimate that their number extends high into the trillions. We hold the opinion that the infinite spirit is not limited as to numbers in the creation of these personal aids.
All right, so let's just think about that. The very fact that they said high into the trillions should have reminded you how when we started talking about the solitary messengers, you know, they were tossing out, you know, trillions, quadrillions, you know, or quintillions, whatever, you know, big numbers. And we also focused on how transcendent those solitary messengers were. Remember what we recognized at the end of that paper, especially when they were pointing out the supreme ultimate personality activity. You know, that means that we're talking about a co-absolute self if it's going to have supreme ultimate personality activity. So not surprising, you know, if you have beings, even like those solitary messengers that have a very definitive relationship to things down below. They actually have a personal expression, even in the finite. But you take a being, and even if it's has kind of an upwelling origin nature, when you finally express it, if it's clear up at the co-absolute, that's tied to the cosmos infinite. So, you know, anything like a finite limit is way transcended. You know, you shouldn't be surprised at all if you know, you're talking about really, really huge numbers. Even if you take what's related to the finite, you know, by the time you get it up there, it's that cone of expression is going to expand into something really huge by the time it engages the cosmos infinite in some way. And we saw that, huge numbers. So look at can you see what they're suggesting, the way they said this, about the relationship between these personal aids and the solitary messengers? Mm-hmm. Notice that last statement. We hold the opinion that the infinite spirit is not limited as to numbers. You know, what does that imply? I mean, anyone have a, you know, first thought? I mean, if it says this, we hold that it's not that the infinite spirit is not limited as to numbers, for something to not be limited, is it going to fit into the grand universe? Is it going to fit into the master universe? No, we're going to, if in other words, by saying that, see, they, you know, their sense is these are also co-absolute. Okay, but it's even a little bit stronger statement than the solitary messengers, because they, you know, there's a fixed number. It's really huge, but you know, they were all made, and that's done with the solitary messengers. These, it's open-ended and unlimited, you know, from their perspective. So instead of being something that's bottom-up and expressed in the co-absolute, this must be coming from the top-down. And that makes complete sense. If they're these personal aids, if they're basically, you know, right there in intimate association with the infinite spirit, you know, they're just going to be a little down from the boss. Okay? You know, so they're getting, so that's what's between the lines. You know, they think that you've got another co-absolute, you know, selfhood, but, you know, top-down in its character. And if it's top-down instead of bottom-up, don't be surprised if further down we find no one can really get much of a personality sense from these beings. That would, you know, that would be what you would expect logically if it's a top-down instead of a bottom-up. You know, in a similar way to when we think about the Creative Mother Spirit is coming down into the finite, you know, top-down, initially there's no personality character except a Michael. And then slowly, you know, she becomes more and more personally tangible to lower and lower beings. Until now, post-Pentecost, even to us when we're ascenders, we'll be able to experience her as a personal fact. Okay, but these obviously are, you know, they just got expressed a little ways down. They're not, you know, continuing to extend down. We're going to have to get up to them, you know, to have any sort of a personal relationship with them. Okay, so that's all that's between the lines there when they speak of it like that. All right, let's get a little more.
The personal aids of the infinite spirit exist for the exclusive assistance of the paradise presence of the third person of deity. Although attached directly to the infinite spirit and located on paradise, they flash to and fro into the uttermost parts of creation. Wherever the circuits of the conjoint creator extend, there these personal aids may appear for the purpose of executing the bidding of the infinite spirit. They traverse space much as do the solitary messengers, but are not persons in the sense that the messengers are.
Okay, see, so there it is, sure enough. And, like I was foreshadowing there, they do see them, you know, in a complementary relationship to the solitary messengers. That they go very fast from point A to point B, and you know, it's an analogous thing. See, they traverse space much as do. The only difference would be, you know, whether or not you have this probably a little bit more grounded aspect of the solitary messenger, since he's bottom up in expression, than these beings that are top down. But it seems to be, you know, going along with this suggestion up above, that this is co-absolute stuff, like the solitary messengers. All right. And then, you know, not persons. So, but wait a minute, personal aids. And, you know, they've said the exclusive assistance of the paradise presence of the third person of deity. And they said, even said conjoint creator, they didn't say conjoint actor, but there seems to be a lot of suggestion of personality here. And yet they're stating directly, not persons. Well, hopefully in the next paragraph they'll clear that up a little bit. But you know, the first thing though that you can notice, if in some sense, you know, probably in our sense, they're not persons, you know, they don't express as persons, is it appropriate that they're called the aids of the infinite spirit? You know, that's the impersonal designation.
Yeah.
So you can see why. Remember, that's one of the things you want to always try to sleuth. You know, they had to dream up a name. Remember how they told us they were struggling at times, trying to come up with some clever name that's suggestive of how they fit into the big picture? Okay, so they obviously chose the infinite spirit because of this impersonal measure. Rather than saying, even though they say personal, they didn't say personal aids of the conjoint actor or something like that. Okay. So that seems to be why they chose that. It's very non-personal from most people's perspective. All right. What else you got here?
The personal aids are all equal and identical. They disclose no differentiation of individuality. Though the conjoint actor looks upon them as true personalities, it is difficult for others to regard them as real persons. They do not manifest a spirit presence to other spirit beings. Paradise origin beings are always aware of the proximity of these aids, but we do not recognize a personality presence. The lack of such a presence form undoubtedly renders them all the more serviceable to the third person of deity.
Okay, so, yeah, they're personal aids, you know, and, you know, you start to wonder, it's like, well, as a personal thing, well, in terms of if they're on the aisle, okay, you think of them as a personal aid of the conjoint actor, but if they're going to flash out, like they're saying, and go anywhere, go somewhere, yep, maybe that's a little bit more a personal aid of the infinite mother spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, depending on how you're, you know, what role you see them in would be how you would describe the person that they're in relationship to. Is it that mother personality, the infinite mother spirit, or is it that father-like personality, the conjoint actor, that's, you know, that absolute person on the aisle? Let's see, what else do we have slipped in there? Equal and identical, that doesn't seem too surprising. They're incredibly transcendent. Not likely that we're going to be able to discern any differentiation. And then this whole bit about the form, that's a lot like solitary messengers. Remember, the solitary messengers don't have any measurable, recognizable, discernible form either. So they're like a solitary messenger in that regard. Again, if they're very, very transcendent, that doesn't seem too surprising that they wouldn't really be casting a shadow, as it were, you know, down here in the finite and have a form. But then this whole bit about it, they're not personal in the way they relate to other things. So if they're on some mission doing something, that's the important thing, how they relate to other things. It's in a non-personal way. They just relate to the third person in a personal way. So they say, the lack of such a presence form undoubtedly renders them all the more serviceable to the third person of deity. So this leaves you, it's like, well, okay, especially if you want to talk about some sort of a remote expression or hand of the impersonal, the infinite spirit, okay, that makes some sense that they would be all the more serviceable in that regard. But then there's also, did you notice that curious way they said, wherever the circuits of the conjoint creator extend, yeah, you know, in that previous one?
Yeah.
And you notice how, you know, they do not manifest a spirit presence. Seems to me that between the lines, I think they're suggesting that this is almost like a mind sort of entity. You know, because those, you know, those are mind circuits you're talking about, you know, standing out from the anchor of the absolute mind.
Circuits of the conjunct
three. Yeah. So that's, you know, I think maybe that's maybe the way you should begin to try to, you know, have an understanding of them, less as a spirit entity and more as some sort of a mindal entity. That's an agent, in terms of being an agent out, you know, out and about, you know, a mindal entity that's an agent of the infinite spirit. You know, and definitely when you think about, that whole bestowal of mind, you know, we have that linkage of, you have a downstepped expression of the infinite spirit as a creative spirit, and then you have that upstepping to a creative mother spirit. Associating mind with the infinite spirit or the infinite mother spirit, is an appropriate association. So I think that's maybe kind of what we're supposed to be thinking here. That maybe this is some kind of mind agency, you know, some little, you know, feeler mechanism, you know, where the third person is, you know, engaging things from a mindal nugget, in a mindal nugget way, rather than a spirit nugget or a physical nugget. So that seems to be what, you know, about the extent of what you can immediately see between the lines here. Did you have a thought, Gene? Yeah.
Oh, it's just, it's mind-boggling.
Yes, it is.
No, to think of an entity that's mind-like, I think of mind as amorphous.
Right.
But actually, we have concepts that we build in our minds. I mean, we have
thought forms.
Thought forms, sure.
However, you know, to your point, you know, they have no discernible form. You know, and the real substance stuff is matter and spirit, you know, that would give it a definitive, tangible form.
Yeah.
See, so all the more, see, it kind of ties in with that. I think that's where it's going. Okay, and then this last little snippet here.
Of all the revealed orders of spirit beings taking origin in the infinite spirit, the personal aids are about the only ones you will not encounter on your inward ascent to paradise.
Okay, go. Why? I mean, what's the point of this paragraph? Okay, it's a paragraph in itself, this little sentence. I mean, and it basically doesn't seem to say anything. I mean, why on earth is it in there? Okay, look at it carefully. Of all the revealed orders of spirit beings taking origin in the infinite spirit, the personal aids are about the only ones you will not encounter on your inward ascent to paradise. Fifth epical revelation is basically talking about the ascension career. Now, the first half of your finite career, they're not really allowed to reveal much about the second half. And you go out as a finaliter, but we've talked about this. Scattered throughout the book are things, the little nuggets that you need, that if you try, you know, because in order to understand fully what the first half is about, you need to flesh out some of the second half. There's going to be holes in your understanding of the first half.
So you will maybe see these guys on your outward.
Yes, right. You may have a lot of relationship with them on your outward half. You know, think about it. Gravity messengers a lot like these. Gravity messengers are your personal assistants. See, I mean, you can see how you might have a lot of immediate connection through the gravity messengers to these beings. They've very carefully given you lots of little unrevealed, quote-unquote, things. They make statements, but they don't really explain much. You know, so they call them unrevealed, but you know, they give you at least a name or a little snippet. You know, it's so that as you start to flesh out the picture, you go, well, wait a minute now. There's got to be something that's, you know, the reciprocal in the outer part to this inner part. Oh, that's the personal aids. You know, you'll know what fits into that spot. They've made it so that there isn't anything where you're going, it's like, well, okay, there has to be something here. Huh, but there's nothing in the book. There isn't anything like that. Every hole that you can find in creating a complete cosmology has at least a name somewhere in the book.
Yeah.
So that you can paint a complete picture, at least, you know, giving that little block a name anyway, even if you don't have much of a sense of the nature of what fits in that spot.
It's not completely vacant.
But there's no holes in the cosmology. And you know, if you heard me say, I speak from personal experience on that. That's how I understand this. As I've started to flesh things out, you know, you just naturally come upon, oh, there's a being, oh, that's the liaison reflectivators or whatever. You know what I mean? All these oddball things that they throw in that are unrevealed, you can find where they fit.
Yeah. They're calling these revealed.
Yeah.
Which they told us a little
bit. Yeah, I mean, we got a paragraph here. It just didn't, you know, it isn't just a list somewhere that says the unrevealed personal aids of the infinite spirit. Yeah. So, you know, the very fact that they gave you a fair amount, see, is all the more suggestive of what we were just talking about there, that you're probably going to have a lot to do with these things as finaliters, and that's something you have an immediate interest in. You know, the reflectivator liaisons may be a little bit abstract, you know, even, you know, for a long time. But, you know, contemplating what you're doing as a finaliter is something that has a lot of sort of immediate interest to us. And seeing our relationship, remember, we're going out, revealing God the Mother. We've taken an oath to the Paradise Trinity. We have all of this Trinity Mother nature in play. We have, and this is the infinite Mother Spirit, like we were talking about. See, so you'd be not surprised if there was a lot of association in the next half of your finite career. All right, so that's one group of mostly mysterious beings. Now, a little less mysterious, so these next two groups. And we won't be able to talk totally about it until we, you know, get both these sections in play. And we'll slowly start unpacking it as we read in here. So let's take that next group.
The Associate Inspectors. The seven supreme executives on the seven paradise spheres of the infinite spirit collectively function as the administrative board of super managers for the seven super universes. The associate inspectors are the personal embodiment of the authority of the supreme executives to the local universes of time and space. These high observers of the affairs of the local creations are joint offspring of the infinite spirit and the seven master spirits of paradise. In the near times of eternity, 700,000 were personalized, and the reserve corps abides on paradise.
There's one of those reserve corps. Yeah, and we know there's, you know, we were talking about 500 and some thousand, so there's quite a few of them, see, that are still on paradise in that reserve corps because they aren't local universes out in play yet. Okay, so let's get a little sense, just again, look at carefully, sort of between the lines and then precisely about the details within the lines, so you get a little sense of what's going on here. We've been, you know, when we were talking about the master spirits, we got keyed into noticing the word collectively. You know, that we had the individual functioning of the seven master spirits, and then we had them collectively functioning, which was actually an eighth literal fact, that sevenfold spirit, which again is not really talked about that much because that has mostly to do with the second half of your career after paradise, okay? But it's a big part of that second part. And see, so notice they get you primed right away. They talk about the seven supreme executives, and you know they coincidentally speak of them collectively functioning. And then you get down there, and it says that the Infinite Spirit and the Seven Master Spirits give origin to the associate inspectors. And you notice they just say Seven Master Spirits. They don't seem to say, you know, Infinite Spirit and one of the Master Spirits. You know, and then they also say that there is apparently a single event and all 700,000 came into existence, not 100,000 from this one and then 100,000 from this one. So most likely, what they're suggesting there is it's actually an association between the Infinite Spirit and the Sevenfold Spirit, that collective, superadditive consequence. That's what is giving rise. The Sevenfold Spirit and the Infinite Spirit are giving rise to these associate inspectors. Okay. Just, you know, they mention it there. But in case it's a little vague, because it's been a while since we read that paper, the seven supreme executives, remember how you have sort of two modes of administering the super universes. You have actually out there in the super universes, you have the Ancients of Days and their hierarchy of Days beings. And they're linked back to the Eternals of Days in Havona. And then separately from that, the Master Spirits, okay, are on Paradise. They need some conduit, some means by which their desires, you know, and their hand can be applied to the seven super universes. So it's through these seven supreme executives that are on the worlds of the Infinite Spirit, seven worlds in that third circuit out from Paradise. You know, it's through them that the Master Spirits engage. And as we're about to see, the way those seven supreme executives actually engage out there is through these two groups of beings, the associate inspectors and the assigned sentinels. They're the agents of that other hand of administration, the hand that's coming from the Master Spirits on Paradise, as opposed to the hand that's actually out here, resident, the Ancients of Days hand. All right, and so you have a little bit of, you know, the Master Spirits are come from the Infinite Spirit. So you have an Infinite Spirit hand, and you have the Paradise Trinity hand, the Ancients of Days. Those are Trinity origin beings. So just like we've seen so much here, you have those two, that coupling between the Paradise Trinity and the Infinite Spirit. Father and Son are off to the side, you know, or behind the scenes, and a lot of what we've been talking about. It's those two that are have this sort of dual engagement of things. All right, so what else I got here?
Associate inspectors work under the direct supervision of the seven supreme executives, being their personal and powerful representatives to the local universes of time and space. An inspector is stationed on the headquarters sphere of each local creation and is a close associate of the resident Union of Days.
Okay, so why did they choose the adjective associate for the associate inspector? The association is with the Union of Days. So they're stressing that these two hands of administration have a meeting point. Again, that's, you know, we know that's why they call them the Union of Days. That's that meeting point of so many things, where all these different hands of administration or rule, you know, come together. It's a nexus point at the local universe capital level. Okay, so that's why they call them associates. And then inspector, in other words, you know, spect, look, so they're on the top of the local universe looking in. Okay, so that's the image they want you to have, that they're standing sort of on the ceiling and looking down in. Well, that seems kind of remote. Well, yeah, that's why there's another group of beings coming up that's in this. But they're the ones that are on the top and looking in, literally. They're inspectors. And they're the associates of the Unions of Days. All right?
The associate inspectors receive reports and recommendations only from their subordinates, the assigned sentinels, stationed on the capitals of the local systems of inhabited worlds, While they make reports only to their immediate superior, the supreme executive of the super universe concerned.
Okay, so in terms of the hierarchy, it doesn't go up to all the supreme executives. You have this, you know, it's definitely a single super universe hierarchy. Okay, and so, you know, they just gave you a little hint about what's coming up. So the other group, or these assigned sentinels, are going to be on the local system capitals. So you have one on the local universe capital, and then 10,000 down on the capitals of the 10,000 local systems in that local universe. Okay, it's like, well, what about the constellations? Why'd they skip over the constellations? Remember how we've talked about this a couple times. The most highs at the constellation level, especially when you start getting a local universe settled in light and life, those most highs have a very tight linkage, close linkage to the Ancients of Days. So you see how the two hands of administration are interleaved. The infinite spirit through the supreme executives, through the associate inspector, into the assigned sentinels, are taking a hold of the top and bottom of the three levels in the local universe. Right. The Ancients of Days are inserting themselves in between. Right. Okay, so, right. So you have the totality attitude filling the space between, you know, that more existential-like, you know, initiating the space by making a ceiling and a floor, and then someone fills in the space between the ceiling and the floor, the totality attitude. And so that's the pattern. So you have a nexus point, those two hands at the local universe level, but then when you're down in the local universe, you have these... You know, you have the two interleaved, the Ancients of Days, the Trinity hand and the Infinite Spirit hand. Okay, let's see, was there anything else that I need to do right up front here? No, that's good. We need a little bit more before we can get into some of the other patterns in play here. Let's get the next group here.
The Assigned Sentinels. The Assigned Sentinels are coordinated personalities and liaison representatives of the seven supreme executives. They were personalized on Paradise by the Infinite Spirit and were created for the specific purposes of their assignment. They are of stationary numbers, and there are exactly 7 billion in existence.
Okay, so there's 7 billion local systems. All right. So a bunch of them are going to be on reserve, too. All right, see, tiny little paragraph, but it's got some juicy word choices there. Yeah. Coordinating personalities. And then they seem to be really stressing here, liaison representatives. They're trying to say that there's some difference, apparently, between, you know, you notice they're indicating they both are very close representatives of the supreme executives. They must be slightly different types of representatives. And they've thrown in coordinating and liaison to try to get you to reflect on that. So if it's a liaison, to use that word, that's, you know, that implies energetic intimacy. You know, more of an expression of the self of the supreme executive than the personality, you know, and you notice, so if you go back and notice how they talked about the associate inspectors are the personal embodiment of the authority of the supreme executives. And then these other ones are more of a liaison, you know, like much more literally a hand out there, you know, an extension of the self out there, rather than the personality direction. Oh, you just say it that way. These two hands. See, one, so when you're talking about the Infinite Spirit expressing out here, and there's two hands, one is more place-like, one is more direction-like. The associate inspectors here are more the direction analog. being, and the assigned sentinels are the more place-like. Or you have action, the associate inspectors, and coordinate action with the assigned sentinels. Okay, and let's see, before I forget, and right in this paragraph too, you notice they said that they were created for the specific purposes of their assignment. Okay, so that's why they said assigned. It's like, well, that's kind of vague, but think about it. I mean, what they're saying is that's the actual point of assignment. That's where the rubber meets the road. They're assigned there, and then someone above them is directing. Okay, that. It's like, okay, well, why sentinel? Well, it seems kind of like inspector. But the literalness of that word, I mean, that's the same root as the word sense, as in feel. See, it's literally a hand. You know, you have these 10,000 fingers that sense, that feel the local universe, you know, down in its foundational levels. So the seven supreme, or our supreme executive for Orvintan, see, literally can feel, can sense. That's why they're called sentinels. He has fingers down there. Okay, and so see, it's very place-like. I lay my hand in place. And then I set my direction, my personal authority over that, my associate inspector. That's the system, place and direction. These are really clever. See, to use a word like sentinel that has that root of sense, to feel, they're wanting you to unpack all of that and get it. So, and coordinate. So it's the more mother-like, you know, to the father-like, more father-like of the associate inspector.
These guys get to pick up on when an Onondaga is going astray.
Right. They, the supreme executive feels that, see, in a very direct way through them.
Chris, you said something about energetic.
Yeah, that, you know, like when I talk about myself, my adjutant, you know, mindal self, you know, energy self, there's that energy self that has a personality identified with it. So that's, and so you have that parallel.
But you said energetic something else equals the word
that you with liaison. When they're saying liaison, when they use that word, they mean there's an intimate energetic connection. In other words, it's a self-like extension with a personality over control. Okay, in the same way that I have an adjutant self with a personality that comes down from above and is trying to over-control and master that self. Yeah. So, see, all these patterns are just repeated, you know, at all levels. You can, the more you understand about the relationship between the associate inspectors and the assigned sentinels, the more you understand the relationship between the upper domain of the hourglass and the lower domain of the hourglass. When we're thinking about your personalized self and yourself, your not yet personalized self. See, there's parallels. And you can see a father-mother. You know, where does your personality come from? The father. You know, where does the adjutant mind come from? The mother. See the parallel? That's what they're getting you to see, that you have a very high expression of what you actually intimately know about you.
You see these patterns are part of our anatomy.
Right. And that's the beauty of the revelation. It's that there's, if you get a particular pattern and it applies universally, because the sources of all these patterns are transcendent, so they can't help but apply their patterns universally. You know, they can't apply them specifically. They're transcendent sources. So they touch everything simultaneously and equally. Yeah. So it makes it, you can really, you can get something anywhere in the book. You can make a lot out of that by extending it through the rest of the revelation. All right?
Much as an associate inspector represents the seven supreme executives to a whole local universe, so in each of the 10,000 systems of that local creation, there is an assigned sentinel who acts as the direct representative of the far distant and supreme board of the super control for the fair affairs of all seven super universes. The sentinels on duty in the local system governments of Orvanton are acting under the direct authority of Supreme Executive Number 7, the coordinator of the seventh super universe. But in their administrative organization, all sentinels commissioned in a local universe are subordinate to the associate inspector stationed at universe headquarters.
Okay, there's two fun things in there. Let's take the last one first. Okay, why did they make a point of saying, but in their administrative organization, all sentinels commissioned in a local universe are subordinate to the associate inspector stationed at universe headquarters? It's like, well, isn't that like just obvious if they're at the local system and the other one is above at the local universe capital? I mean, why are they stressing that? Think about what they said about their origin. The assigned sentinels, who gives rise to them? What did it say? They were personalized on paradise by just the infinite spirit. Oh, yeah. Not the infinite spirit and the seven master spirits, like they said with the associate inspectors. So think about that. So an assigned sentinel, it's just the infinite spirit. To get an associate inspector, you have to take the infinite spirit in combination with the seven master spirits. Well, that's a downstepping. So in terms of their origin, the inspector is downstepped from the sentinel.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's like, well, wait a minute. I thought if you take two things, I thought there was a super additive consequence. Well, yeah, but remember, when you're going top down, super additive goes downward, not upward in the picture. The super additive consequence of the relationship between the infinite spirit and the seven master spirits is penetrates more downward. You know, like a descending sun is augmenting his nature by going down, whereas we augment our nature by going up.
So that gets more focalized, you're
saying? Yeah, it is more focalized, certainly. In this picture, it's just like, well, that's why they're saying that. It's like, well, wait a minute. Yeah, when you said their origins, the sentinels should be above the inspectors in the hierarchy. Why is it flipped around? Remember what we've said about the reciprocal relationship between the central universe, the pattern, and the seven super universes out here. There's a reciprocal expression. Remember when we talked about like our ascension, we go from individuality, associativity, unity as a Marantia being. And then we do individuality, associativity, unity as a spirit being in the super universe. And we get to that full engagement of spirit, and then we go into Havona, and that's our floor. And now we go unity, associativity to a new transcendent individuality. Okay, so in there, the more individuated thing is above. Okay, but when you express it out, it flips over, and the sentinel goes down to the local system. Okay, that's why they've thrown that but, you know, blah blah blah, in there. Okay. So that's that little mystery. Now notice the other thing they threw in there. The sentinels on duty in the local system governments of Orvanton are acting under the direct authority of the Supreme Executive Number 7, the coordinator of the seven super universe. Ah, okay. So not only do we have a place direction, father, mother, like, analog between these two hands of the infinite spirit, but if we think about the two overall hands of the ancients of days and the seven supreme executives, or the paradise trinity and the infinite spirit, which one is the more direction like and which one is the more place like? Which one is the action and which one is the coordinate action? They just told you. The ancients of days, I mean, they're God. They're the rulers of the super universe. They're on top of the local universes. So they're the direct, the direction hand. They direct the affairs of the super universe. The coordinate action, the more place-like, see, down below them, there isn't anything at the super in the super universe levels here from the supreme executives. It's all down in the local universe levels. You know, that's the more place-like hand, the coordinate action hand. So you have two. So you have that overall direction place, and then when you get down in there, and you even see when you look at it with the Ancients of Days slipping their hand into the constellation level, you have kind of. You have direction and place down to the from the Ancients of Days down to the associate inspectors, you know, and yeah, the associate inspectors are in association with the Unions of Days, the you know, the Ancients of Days reaching down.
Yeah.
Okay? So there, and then down below that you have a direction, you know, for the Ancients of Days into the Most Highs with the place like hand below that of the Assigned Sentinels. Okay. So there's all of this complexity. Of direction, place, like action, coordinate action,
yeah.
Interleaved and hierarchical, and yeah. See, it's really a pretty fascinating sort of fractal sort of structure that they've got. And we've alluded to this. You know, when you read about you know, getting a system settled in light and life, and then getting a constellation, and finally getting a local universe settled in light and life. They talk about how you know, everything begins to really change in terms of the administration of a local universe when it gets to settle in light and life. It starts to function more as part of the Trinity government of the super universe than the dual government of the Creator, Son, Creator, Mother, Spirit. And our two subordinate executives in the local universe, the Bright and Morning Star, Gabriel in our case, and the Father Melchizedek, those two executives match up to these two different hands. And you go, well, which one goes to which? You know, does Gabriel go to the Ancient of Day hand or to the Supreme Executive hand? Well, when you read about the Creator Son and the Creator Mother Spirit bringing Gabriel and the Father Melchizedek into existence, you know, they seem to indicate that in some ways they're, I mean, it's just the Creator Son, Creator Mother Spirit giving rise to these two sons. It's like, well, what's the difference between these two sons? One, you know, is more dominant Creator Son-like, Gabriel. The other is more dominant Creator Mother Spirit-like, Father Melchizedek. So direction, there's a direction place differential there. They better line up the way we just figured out, you know, when they tell you that, or you know you've found an error in the revelation. You've got a logical inconsistency. No, it's exactly what they tell you. Gabriel, you know, goes to work very directly for the Ancients of Days, the direction hand.
Yeah.
And the Father Melchizedek, you know, comes into close association with the associate inspectors and the assigned sentinels. Mm-hmm. See, the more place-like, the more coordinate action hand.
There's no flaw
there. This is the way the revelation is. It's just, you know, once you start to see this, it all locks together in a very consistent pattern.
Yep.
Yeah, see, so you can answer that question when you're reading about, you know, the light and life things, and you go, Gabriel goes here, and Father Melchizedek goes there, and you go, why? You can answer that why question because you know the pattern that's in play. They're matching up. Direction, place. Yeah. All right. You know, and you've got, you know, they very directly use coordinator and coordinating. They've got those words so that you can find, you know, pick up that clue. You can put the pieces together. It's there. You know, all you need is one sentence. You know, you don't have to say it 50 times. One sentence is just as important as 50 sentences. You know, it's quality, not quantity, and the truth of the revelation. All right, what else do they tell us?
Within a local creation, the assigned sentinels serve in rotation, being transferred from system to system. They are usually changed every millennium of the local universe time. They are among the highest-ranking personalities stationed on a system capital, but they never participate in deliberations concerned with system affairs. In the local systems, they serve as the ex officio heads of the 4 and 20 administrators, hailing from the evolutionary worlds, but otherwise ascending mortals have little contact with them. The Sentinels are almost exclusively concerned in keeping the associate inspector of their universe fully informed on all matters relating to the welfare and state of the systems of their assignment.
Okay. A couple of interesting things there. So that first thing, so they serve in rotation. So just think about that. So you've got down at the local system level, you have these 10,000, and they're constantly in flux, moving around. That makes it even more place-like.
Yeah.
Like I'm running my hand over the whole space. You know, I don't just have my hand locked in one spot, in one orientation. My fingers are moving, so I have a full, more ubiquitous-like sensing of that foundational level. So that makes sense. That they're the more place-like of the more place-like. You know, the sign sentinels are place-like relative to the associate inspectors, and the supreme executives are place-like relative to the ancients of days. They're more place-like of the place-like. Okay, so that makes sense. And, you know, you got that fascinating little thing. They're tied to the 4 and 20 counselors in all the different local systems. Every local system has 4 and 20 counselors. You know, ours is special because of Michael and all that sort of stuff. But, every one of these assigned sentinels is that, you know, that ex officio, head. So, what have we been thinking about ourselves as ascenders, and how it's not surprising to us anymore that we take an oath to the Paradise Trinity when we become the finaliters? You know, this very close association to the Trinity, the Mother. You know, and so of all the beings, I mean, are they closely associating with Lananadec sons? No, they're associating with us. So see, so that fostering of that that mother-like nature is even there in their engagement of the mortals, sort of the representatives for all the mortals in a system, the 4 and 20 counselors of that system. So it you can see how you just once you see one of these patterns, you know, a whole bunch of things are just they just line up. You know, you don't have to try to come up with something that rationalizes a whole bunch of these details. You can't remember all these details. No one can. But you find a couple things that are solid enough that you can get the pattern, and then coincidentally, everything else lines up. Yeah.
The pattern helps you organize how this all fits together.
Right, and you need that pattern so that you have some organizing mechanism, because it's so insanely complicated. You know, I have to struggle every week to try to get a part of the picture that we're going to be talking about clearly enough in my head, because I can't hold all this stuff in my head constantly. It's just huge. But you can do it. The more you start to see these patterns, it becomes less just a collection of disjoint facts. It just is an ongoing expression of a handful of patterns that you've figured out. So it feels familiar even when you're talking about something seemingly very abstract and remote.
The patterns are a manageable number.
It's interesting in the cosmos that there's these beings who have no other real function other than to pass on information and keep those above them informed.
Yeah.
You know, one of the problems we have, and we have a similar thing, we have agencies that are supposed to do that, but we often get confused and they start becoming operatives.
right. Yeah.
And then when it comes, well, why didn't we know that this was happening? Well, because they were too busy operating
instead of informing. Yes.
Informing, gathering information.
Right. You need action and coordinate action, and they need to be separate. Coordinate actors can't turn themselves into actors, you know. You need the the dual hands so that everything functions properly. Yep. So you see that pattern here. Let's see. Is there anything else in there? To your point, you have a lot of, okay, I'm here to feed information up the chain, but I do engage in a little bit more active way the mortals through the 420 counselors. Because the mortals are part of the coordinate action. We're always going to, as finaliters, we're really finally going to be able to do that uninhibited because we'll be perfected so they can let us loose, as freewheeling coordinate action hands. We're always going to be part of the coordinate action more than the action. Mm-hmm. There are rulers, who are downstepped expressions of the Father. And that's the action. But we're part of that coordination of the whole. Okay?
So is this in relation to the Supreme where you have the Almighty Supreme and the Cosmic Mother? Is that how you would say
it? Mm-hmm. This is more synchronized with the universal mother aspect of God the Supreme, as opposed to God the Almighty.
Okay, wouldn't there be a third part, right? The Supreme Being, wouldn't that be the superadditive consequence?
Yeah, and see, that's, when you bring that up, you just see how you have all of these twofold patterns going on. And a lot of that is what gives rise eventually to the Supreme Being, is the interplay between all of these twofold hands descending and ascending, and infinite spirit and paradise trinity. All these twofold associations have a collective superadditive consequence. That's the Supreme Being. That's the final story on all of this complexity. You're creating all these different differentials. And all these, this multifaceted structure of twofold differentials gives rise to the Supreme Being. Or if you look at it top down, the nature of the Supreme Being, when it separates down into the finite, takes on all these twofold hands, the Almighty and the Mother, or what have you. Action and coordinate action. Okay.
Assigned sentinels and associate inspectors do not report to the supreme executives through a super universe headquarters. They are responsible solely to the supreme executive of the super universe concerned. Their activities are distinct from the administration of the Ancient of Days.
So that's just basically just directly saying what we've been talking about. These very definitively separate hands. They're not independent, but they're distinct, they're separate. And like we've noticed, one of the points where they really come into in an intimate association is at the local universe headquarters level. I already said it, but if you know the rest of the story, that little paragraph reminds you of the Ancients of Days having this direct link into the Most Highs, into the Constellation Fathers. Oh, and maybe I should mention, as long as that's coming up again, the fact that you have this difference between the local universe level and the local system level together, and the constellation level. There's two things there. You would expect that if you tied that back to the pattern universe, that what gives rise to the local universe level and the local system level would have some sort of similarity in the source, and then there would be a different pattern to give rise to the constellations, and you see that when you unpack the central universe. You see how there's a different linkage between the pattern and the expression. There's a commonality of linkage that gives rise to the local universes and the local systems, but then a different type of linkage that gives rise to the constellations. So that's this separation that these two hands are engaging, you know, is rooted in the pattern universe. So it isn't just that you have a non-distinct difference, you know, sort of cosmologically, and they're just arbitrarily saying, well, you take the constellations and I'll take, you know. The beings match the cosmology. They're one system, you know. So it doesn't matter if it's energy pattern or it's spirit pattern, you know, if it's power or personality. The two have to be, you know, locked together so that there can be a power personality synthesis, like I said, that gives rise to the Supreme Being. So it all lines up, the power and the personality, the places and the beings, the things and the beings.
So in early early local universes that are settled,
mm-hmm.
These functions consolidate in some new way, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Because that supremacy is really actualized.
Yeah.
Those differentials have resolved mm-hmm. in life and got some new...
And,
things happening.
Right, and you know the way the overt confirmation, I guess you would say, of that fact that we've been talking about, that you know there's a synthesis in play. There's this intimacy of relationship to the Supreme Being, who starts functioning as new directors in these local universes that are settled in light and life. Those associates of the Supreme Being, do you remember the funny name they give for those guys? The unqualified supervisors of the Supreme?
Oh, right.
I know Steve remembers them. We talked about that unqualified word. Yeah, see, if you read, so the very fact that you've brought these differentials together to a degree is demonstrated by the fact that, you know, you really see the Supreme Being present, you know, see through his hands.
Yeah.
Functioning there. Yeah. All right.
The supreme executives, associate inspectors, and assigned sentinels, together with the Omnifim, and a host of unrevealed personalities, constitute an efficient, direct, centralized, but far-flung system of advisory and administrative co-coordination of all the grand universe of things and beings.
Okay, so there it is. He's stressing again that's the coordinate actions. And that whole system tied to the supreme executives is that coordinate action hand. And, you know, we'll talk about the Omnifim down the road here a little ways. Those are the angels that are very tightly tied to the supreme executives. So... in just the same way that there's not a lot of immediate intimacy with all these, you know, these things we've just been reading about, you know, the Omnifim too, or, you know, you work very closely with the Seraphim and the Sakanafim, and but the Omnifim are sort of those oddballs, also mentioned, you know, and it's because they're more part of the future in many ways than the present. Obviously, the more, you know, a local universe is settled in light and life, the more this whole coordinate action hand starts to, so the Omnifim are going to start taking on greater roles and things. And you can imagine that mortals, you know, in long settled domains of a super universe, you know, a lot of these statements that they've made will not be so true anymore. You know, ascending mortals, will have lots of interaction with these beings and that being and whatnot that right now you don't so much. And So the more, the more it becomes, the more that a given super universe, say, starts to be a whole rather than a collection of parts, those mortals are going to have very different experiences. They're going to get, they won't be able to avoid getting some of the relationship to completeness earlier on. For us, it's very separate, like we've talked about. You ascend sort of like a laser up through the whole structure and you're perfected. And then you go out and try to do the completeness thing because you have this very narrow relationship to the whole. You got to really do the whole thing afterwards. But see, they won't be able to avoid picking up a lot of that.
Yeah.
So, and that would make sense that, maybe towards the end, by the time, someone ascends, maybe it's all pretty much done and they don't have a lot of a second phase to do.
If your ascension was through a light and life career, you'd have a lot of completion going.
Right. You can even imagine those last ascenders, are would achieve perfection and completeness almost at the same time, maybe, or something,
Not only are you perfect, you're
perfect. Right. So you can kind of make some speculations about the latter stages of the evolution of things.
Yeah. It's easy to imagine, it'll almost be complete, then it'll be easy. But when you put it in the structure, it doesn't sound easy at all.
Right. Instead of just going through this little narrow tube, you got to try to somehow, engage the whole thing and ascend,
You
right.
would be engaged in that. That's the thing. It'd be more, normal for you.
Maybe you would ascend slower so that, maybe it takes you really the same amount of time to get to completion. It's more of kind of a single track phenomenon, rather than a two phase phenomenon. I don't know. That's a possibility.
I feel I'm new to this.
Mm-hmm.
But this is your chart with the adapting, progressing, uh-huh. perfecting. Where does the completeness fall in?
That's after that. When you're that growth chart, and it's how vertical it is. See, it's pointing out that that's a lot about what it takes to get up to paradise. There's varying, there's adapting, there's progressing, there's perfecting, but finally you're the top of that whole stack. You're perfected. It's like, well, now what? Well, now you have a whole nother story that's not in that chart. That's something that one could begin to speculate on. What does growth, how would you begin to understand the nature of growth when you're more in that horizontal mode rather than the vertical mode of ascension, where naturally growth charts, take a vertical structure when you make them? What is it going to look like, when we're growing, but we're more in that more horizontal mode. I don't know. I haven't thought about that. But it's, it does. And see, and notice the parallel. Something we see in a more lowly thing. We talk about going up the levels of meaning,
right.
In a very vertical way. And then we say, now pull those up and wrap them into circles, and make cosmic structures and expand outward. All right, see, so there's parallels you can see here.
If you looked at quantity, quality is vertical. Quantity would be the horizontal one, achievement.
Yeah, and it's just, see, that our initial growth is more linear. And the next stage of our growth will be more nonlinear, more holistic, less easily chartable from our current consciousness, because it won't be so easy to draw lines through it. That's why they say if you're going to, try to understand the big picture, you can't make vertical charts. You've got to make ellipses and things like this. And they call the circle of eternity and things like that. They're constantly trying to bring in. You just can't think in simple, staircase fashion anymore to try to understand it. This is another example of that.
Those objectives could be combined in some crazy way in ultimacy.
the motion of ultimacy is going to be a compound function.
Yeah.
Not like what we're looking at here, where we can dice it apart in this vertical horizontal modeling.
Yeah.
This is not going to model like that
anymore. Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, you know, one of the most fundamental ways that a lot of what's going on in this age, it has a linear character to it, is because you have the two triodities that really give rise to the basic actuality pattern, you know, and they're one, two, three. They're individuality, associativity, unity, other matter, mind, spirit. You can draw a line through them in a lot of ways. But you bring in the other 18 triodities for the absinthe, and, you know, okay, lines are no longer possible. You have this complex 20-dimensional space that, right, we can't even imagine, right? All right. Let's do this. It's a lot of it is pretty just straightforward reading, and it'd be fun to shift gears a little bit, and it'll work really well. This last section really needs to be read with the beginning of the next paper anyway. Those two are meant to go together. So this would be a good way to wrap up tonight, is to read this first section about the graduate guides, and then when they talk about the origin of them, that ties into the servitals that gets into the next paper. So we'll do that next time. we're shifting gears here a bit. It's going to be talking about stuff that's a lot closer to home now, a lot more straightforward. That Grand Fanda guy is going to come up.
The graduate guides. The graduate guides, as a group, sponsor the conduct sponsor and conduct the high university of technical instruction and spiritual training, which is so essential to mortal attainment of the goal of the ages. God, rest, and then eternity of perfected service. These highly personal beings take their name from the nature and purpose of their work. They're exclusively devoted to the task of guiding the mortal graduates from the super universes of time through the Havona course of instruction and training, which serves to prepare the ascending pilgrims for admission to paradise and the core of the finality.
Okay, so pretty straightforward why they decided to call them graduate guides. We graduate from the super universe, part of the ascension, and they guide us through Havona. You know, you see the perfected service that we were just talking about there. What happens after perfecting is done and you're perfected. And you notice that it's kind of interesting that they make a point of stressing it again. So they start out with the details of calling it this high university of technical instruction and spiritual training. And then they repeat that, instruction and training, at the end of the paragraph. So they really apparently want you to use the words that way. That, you know, we've talked about when you finally get to Havona, that's when the real spiritual process begins. Because now it's the floor you stand on, and you can really do something with it. You aren't trying to get up to it. You've achieved that, and now you can do something with it. So the actual spiritual training can begin when you get to Havona. But it's not all just unity. You have a whole advanced order of precision and specificity, the technical instruction. You've got to learn details, you know, on an order that is beyond our comprehension in order to be able to finally do what they're saying there, to get to God and the rest, you know, and the rest even. Remember how we went through the central universe? You know, you've got to get up through supreme, absinthe, ultimate, co-absolute, and absolute. I mean, you have to have some relationship to the absolute level in order to engage the absoluteness of the aisle in a direct way. So, you know, think about how precise that's going to be, how your inner life is going to have to take on absolute precision, how technically, you know, specific that is, you know, and that technical instruction. You've got to be able to bring things to absolute, you know, points, bring things to absolute focus. You know, it can't be fuzzy finite or, you know, even co-absolute. You know, it's got to be, you got to be able to bring things to an absolute point. So that's the technical instructions. So you're really going to bring individuality and unity together in this incredible way. That's why there's two there. All right.
I am not forbidden to undertake to tell you of the work of these graduate guides, but it is so ultra-spiritual that I despair of being able to adequately portray to the material mind a concept of their manifold activities. On the mansion worlds, after your vision range is extended and you are freed from the fetters of material comparisons, you can begin to comprehend the meaning of those realities which I cannot see nor ear hear, and which have never entered the concept of human minds, even those things which God has prepared for those who love such eternal verities. You are not always to be so limited in the range of your vision and spiritual comprehension.
Okay, he's bringing in, that's Paul in 1 Corinthians. Yeah, if anyone is familiar with the Bible, that's a pretty famous passage there in Corinthians. And Paul is playing off of Isaiah. They're tweaking it. They love to tweak these passages. It isn't very quite directly Paul, but instead of saying who love him, who love such eternal verities, veritas, truth, such eternal fundamental truths, basically what that's, literally means. We talk about this a lot, but look at how it's kind of interesting how they're expressing it this time. When we, when we don't prefer to serve two masters anymore, once we get to be a Marantia identity, a lot of this stuff will have a much more immediacy to it. And look at this, you're freed from the fetters of material comparisons. Notice that's what we're constantly having to do here. We have to come up with some analogy that we can relate to from our very individuality viewpoint. Even when we talk about unity, we have to individualize it in some way to have any ability to understand it. They're telling you you'll be able to think unity more directly, even in just the next life. And so some of these thoughts won't be so belabored with analogies that, it works, yes, this analogy works for this part, but not really for that part, so we have to have a different analogy for that, and that, we notice how much we have to do that.
Right. Everything has got to be like something.
Yeah. You'll be able to take it on a little more. So that's encouraging. And that's what they mean by that Marantia mathematics and that sort of stuff. When you can do the unity thing more directly. It doesn't have to be so linear individuality, in your approach to understanding it. Let's see, what else was in there? Ultra spiritual. See, from our perspective, the heights of even beyond our wildest imaginations of spiritual, sort of super spiritual, is the super universe, unity level of the super universe capital. We're going, to go to Havona is going beyond that. So you're going beyond super, you're going to ultra. See, you're so far beyond anything that we have any concept of. Okay. All right.
The graduate guides are engaged in piloting the pilgrims of time through the seven circuits of Havona worlds. The guide who greets you upon your arrival on the receiving world of the outer Havona circuit will remain with you throughout your entire career on the heavenly circuits. Though you will associate with countless other personalities during your sojourn on a billion worlds, your graduate guide will follow you to the end of your Havona progression and will witness your entrance into the terminal slumber of time, of sleep of eternity transit to the paradise goal, where, upon awakening, you will be greeted by the Paradise Companion assigned to welcome you and perhaps to remain with you until you are initiated as a member of the mortal core of the finality.
And the Paradise Companions we'll talk about in the next paper as well. So we'll just hold that off until then.
Lots to look forward to. It's all...
But yeah, just so you have the graduate guides, and then of course we'll talk about also the Supernafim play a big role when we get to them, and talking about getting you through the Havona circuits. But you have this very close guide that works with you, and talk about understatement. Even saying countless other personalities seems inadequate. When you're talking about a billion worlds, and they're all insanely huge, like we've talked about, countless, yeah, no kidding. It's nice to know that you can begin to think about that vastness, but feel secure, but I'll have this, my own personal guide, my touchstone, my anchor point, so I won't get lost in all of the complexity, and the vastness of it, so you see they're trying to really get you to be intrigued about this personal relationship you have way off in the distant future here, a very intimate guide.
The number of graduate guides is beyond the power of human minds to grasp, and they continue to appear. Their origin is something of a mystery. They have not existed from eternity. They mysteriously appear as they are needed. There is no record of a graduate guide in all of the realms of the central universe until that far distant day when the first mortal pilgrim of all time made his way to the outer belt of the central creation. The instant he arrived on the pilot world of the outer circuit, he was met with friendly greetings by Malvorian, the first of the graduate guides, and now the chief of their supreme council and the director of their vast educational organization.
Okay, so that whole mystery about their origin, that's what the next section is about. So we'll get to that next time. As far as I know, Malvor is not related to Halvor, but Malvorian, kind of interesting name. Got to figure out the etymology of that sometime.
Now, your graduate guide might be helpful.
I think Grand Fanda got him. That's all pretty straightforward. But they, you notice the, even without going into the details of the next section, you can see what they're getting at. There's some amazing supremacy thing going on, where coincidentally, like we always say, right, Grand Fanda steps foot on a boink, here's this being that comes out of nowhere that no one has ever seen before. That sort of condensation out of supremacy. There's shades of that you see very early on with the midwayers. We've mentioned that. The midwayers are unlike the angels that have this very definitive from the top down descending expression, all the way down even to the unrevealed lesser angels. Very mysteriously, just like this. Coincidentally, distilling out of supremacy, boom, there's these midwayers that coalesce.
Magistan kind of did
the same. Right, and there's things like that, right. So, but whenever they, whenever they're suggesting some sort of a, real tie to experiential deity like that, to mysterious, seemingly coming out of nowhere, what's the source of that? There's a lot of wholeness embodied within them. So there we see it again. We know that that's, once we finally have gotten ourselves all together and can get into Havona. Now we're going to begin in earnest to acquire this mother likeness that we're going to go out revealing, God the Mother revealing as a finaliter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you see how helpful they are going to be if they have some sort of embodiment of the whole as a touchstone for us. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there it is again. It's just you see it over and over. You know, see, the more you actually get into bringing, you know, God the Mother into this picture, you see that really that's what the story is about.
Yeah.
I mean, the Father part of the story is just the initiator, the framework. He lays out the framework. He and his Father-like expressions lay out the framework. But the whole framework is populated by, you know, the God within, the God of immanence, you know, the Mother, and all the Mother-like phenomena, like us. Yeah.
Thank you, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Let me catch up. Am I using the right word? Are these touchstones capacity? And what is the co-capacity or the...
No,
the indirect capacity?
Don't bring in the word capacity. Just think of it as... you're trying to grow in a certain... Like we were just saying, there's a lot of technical precision to all this. There's a lot of details you have to think about to grow just the way you need to grow. And it's always helpful if you have sort of an example in front of you of what it looks like if what you're trying to do is already done. If all of the details are kind of already brought together, these are examples of that are on the outside. The adjuster is an example that's on the inside of bringing all the details together into something whole-like. So it's a touchstone also. It's like, well, what does it look like when power and personality are together as one? Well, a thought adjuster is not only pure spirit, but it's also pure energy. So, you know, it's a synthesis example that you can, you know, it's like, well, what do I do? Well, go towards that. The more you go towards that which is already together, the more you'll come together.
So Chris, how about the opening prayer? Mm-hmm. How about the relating capacity to the connecting?
Right. All yeah. Capacity. See, all of that. See, we're
would that be better?
Well, just you know, just don't immediately go to the word capacity. Just think about you. I mean, yes, there's. You're given this capacity from the Mother, yes. You know, but the real key is that you have this relation to the whole, and therefore the relation to others who have a relation to the whole through the individuality of the whole. That whole cosmic system, see, is more and more it's coming into play, and the more you are. An advanced element in the cosmic system, the more other elements of the cosmic system are joined with you, the more help you have. The more you grow, the more help you have in growing. And so the more you grow, and so the more help you have in growing, and so the more you grow. And that's why it's a geometric process in this growth. That's what you're really wanting to key on, is just you're more and more... You're becoming a living part of the cosmic system in more and more extensive ways, and that's it takes capacity to be more extensive. Yes, but it's just the fact that you're more and more related to the whole. This distinction is vital. It's what your whole eternal life is about. Vital, you know, vitality, living life. Becoming more and more a part of this cosmic system, a dynamic element in relationship with more and more dynamic elements. And it's a super additive, you know, geometric phenomenon. That's you're leaving the stasis of your initiation behind. A little point of beingness that the Father made is now coming alive. And connecting with everything through the Mother. Right?
On the Paradise Records of Havona, in the section denominated Graduate Guides, there appears this initial entry. And Malvorian, the first of this order, did greet and instruct the pilgrim discoverer of Havona, and did conduct him from the outer circuits of initial experience, step by step and circuit by circuit, until he stood in the very presence of the source and destiny of all personality, subsequently crossing the threshold of eternity to paradise.
And then remember when we talked about Havona, we talked about that last little distinction, that technical detail is there. You know, you'll come into a personal recognition of the Father before you actually have a literal full relationship to the aisle, you know, before you've crossed the threshold from time to eternity. So that's a subsequent step, and it's a huge process. You know, you think, okay, wow, I have a personal recognition of the Father, I'm done. No, now you're just beginning, because, you know, the moment you touch the Father, you touch the initiator, and he kind of starts the process all over again. You have this huge hill to climb on those inner two circuits of Havona, yeah, to go up from supremacy to absoluteness.
Now you're striking step with eternity.
Yeah, and to be able to, yeah, actually literally strike step with eternity, you know. Yeah. So that's just another reminder that there's a subsequently there. Be careful asking for more connection, you know, being touched by the Father more. You have all you can handle trying to do something with what he initiated already. don't be asking for more initiation, you know. The Father is the initiator, and you know, there's nothing but work following his touch.
you said recognize and realize. Did I not hear you say appreciate?
Right. Very much so. You recognize it, the more you actually take a grasp of it, a faith grasp of it, and realize it, the more you appreciate just what we're talking about here. And that's, I'm speaking from that mode. You know, when you feel just what he's already given you, some reality, when you realize, it's like, okay, I've got plenty to do right now. I don't need to be asking for, you know, the 12th epical revelation, or the, you know, I've got plenty to do right now, just to try to wrap my mind around what I've got. All right.
Where's the delete button?
At that far distant time, I was attached to the service of the Ancient of Days on Uversa, and we all rejoiced in the assurance that eventually pilgrims from our super universe would reach Havona. For ages, we had been taught that the evolutionary creatures of space would attain paradise, and the thrill of all time swept through the heavenly courts when the first pilgrim actually arrived.
Okay. Now, it's a beautiful, you know, little thing. What's the little detail that you can bring home? It's a divine counselor writing this paper. What is he testifying to? For ages, he had to act upon what?
Faith.
Faith. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that, right? Faith. Okay. Just because he's a divine counselor doesn't mean faith isn't all necessary. You know, we have no idea of the amount of faith that he exercised. Ages and ages, trillions and trillions, you know, years maybe. I mean, yeah. Okay, of faith, okay? Yeah. You ought to be able to handle a few decades of faith, at least, you know? So that's between the lines there.
And look at the word that he came up with, assurance.
Mm-hmm. Faith, trust, assurance. See, he grew his faith into trust, and then, you know, and that led to assurance. Yep. All right.
The name of this pilgrim discoverer of Havona is Gran Fonda, and he hailed from planet 341 of system 84 in constellation 62 of local universe 1131, situated in Super Universe number 1. He arrived. His arrival was the signal for the establishment of the broadcast service of the universe of universes. Theretofore, only the broadcasts of the super universes and the local universes had been in operation. But the announcement of the arrival of Grand Fonda at the portals of Havona signalized the inauguration of the Space Reports of Glory, so named because the initial universe broadcast reported the Havona arrival of the first of the evolutionary beings to attain entrance upon the goal of ascendant existence.
Okay, so, I mean, that's an interesting little detail, that there was a lot of separateness of the seven super universes until this point. Started to function a little bit more as a whole once Grand Fonda got there. And, the name of this pilgrim, okay, I mean, you know, he doesn't have Indo-European or, you know, okay. I mean, they've coined a name for him. You know, I figured that one out. Grand Fonda, the Fand is an obsolete verb. And when they make a few words where they use that that Latin noun-forming suffix, it's that general, it's the first declension nominative suffix, a. And when they do that, they mean that you grab the spirit of the meaning from the etymology, and then you fill in the blanks. The A allows you to fill in the blanks a little bit. So it literally means the ancestor, that's the grand, of all who seek, that's the Fand, the Father. The ancestor of all who seek the Father is Grand Fonda. All right.
Graduate guides never leave the Havona worlds. They are dedicated to the service of the graduate pilgrims of time and space. And you will sometime meet those noble beings face to face if you do not reject the certain and all-perfected plan designed to effect your survival and ascension.
Ooh, it ended kind of prickly. Notice that. Little sobering reminder. They knew you were getting kind of full of pride and excited here, and it's like we're soaring on some of these sentences. So they stick you at the end, and you will sometime meet these noble beings face to face. Notice there's an important thing they said in there. Okay, yeah, if you do not reject the certain and all perfected plan. Why did they say all perfected plan? Because what's the basic notion that people get in their heads that is the beginning of the end for them? That, you know, I have a better idea of how to ascend. I got this really clever idea. No, there's not one I that's not dotted. It's an all-perfected plan. There's nothing you can add to it. You can only conform with it.
Yeah.
If there's one shred of pride in you, if you're not 100% humility, you will fail. Pride? Yeah. Pride goeth before the fall. Okay? And that's a, there's a lot of words like pride that are now being preached as something you should be striving for. You should take pride in this, that, or the other thing. And you should have self-esteem, you know, or even self-admiration. No. No. Absolutely no. 100% humble. You know? No ethnic pride, no nothing pride. Okay? Pride goeth before the fall. So that's why they threw that in there. It's all perfected. Your job is to figure out what it is and absolutely consecrate yourself to it, to conform 100% to the plan. Not your plan. The plan. Yeah. Yeah. Any your plan is self-righteousness.
Yeah.
To conform to the plan is righteousness. That's why they're stressing that. That's the big, part of the big emergency. Why this book is sitting in my lap is we have enough spiritual consciousness now that we can be our own worst enemy. We can have thoughts like pride, and false exaltations of self-respect, like self-esteem or even self-admiration.
Yeah. Even self-actualization seems
a bit whipped out. Yeah, you're not self-actualizing. You're not a creator being.
Right, right. It just doesn't work.
You're not self-actualizing. You're not self-sustaining.
Right.
100% humble. Yep.
Nobody blurted out the answer.
What?
Well, there's two parts here, but certain and all perfect. So
not perfect,
I would think there's something. I wanted to say absolute, but I killed my voice box.
Well, okay, as long as you mentioned that, it's the last little thing we can end with. Okay, so it ended with certain and all perfected. We noticed that it began with technical instruction, spiritual training. Instruction and training, they said. Yeah. Technical instruction, certain. Do you have enough material consciousness, enough individuality consciousness? Can you bring your thoughts to a sharp enough focus that you can see the precision of it? Certain. Okay. And do you have enough spiritual consciousness, that you can see the pure unity of it, the all-perfectedness of it? And can you put the two together? Do you have cosmic consciousness? Do you have both eyes open so that you see the two things on both sides of the hand? Okay. And do you feel comfortable with the challenge that lies ahead, that it's twofold, both technical instruction and spiritual training? Or do you like to pretend you didn't see the technical instruction part? Do you like to just remember the spiritual training part? You gotta find a way to get comfortable with both of those. And just which one feels, less compelling. Notice that that's where you need to work. You've made some effort. You're struggling through the book, and there's a conflict. You found a little conflict, and it's in yourself with that word, like technical instruction. That's what you've been looking for. Work on that. If it feels pretty natural to hear spiritual training, well, then that's not where there's a conflict. That's not where you need to work. You need to work where there's conflict. Don't avoid it. Take it on. Do what you need to do. Take delight in cultivating the intuitions that will help you there. Not more of the intuitions that are helping you on the other side if you've already got a measure of that going. Okay. Now we'll definitely shift gears. Wait till you see what we do next time when we try to go through the origin of the graduate guides. It gets a little heavy. but we'll take it slow and try to pick our way through it.
This concept of consecration, that doesn't make any creative demands on you. Consecration isn't like that. It's just a mobilization of will. It's will applied, in a vector, that maybe only your face can grasp, but you can still consecrate. It doesn't make it. You don't invent anything in consecration.
Yeah,
no self thing trying to build it's not doing anything.
The creativity is just, how you're using your personality is just figuring out how your unique personality conforms. That's what you have to be creative about.
Yeah.
You don't create the form.
Right.
Form is preexistent.
Right.
You have to be creative about figuring out how you get yourself locked in. I mean, like when we often do a movement like that with their hand or something. He's like, okay, I'm a first circler, but I haven't fused it. Why? Well, because I haven't figured out how to rotate it until it locks in. Okay. A lot of your universe career is like that. Yeah. That's what your creativity was given to you for. Not to change forms, but to creatively conform.
Yeah.
All right, let's call it quits here. Getting pretty late. And we can talk a little bit afterwards, too. And let's take a moment here.